MIDI.
MIDI. Sorry.
No, all
What a
good.
project.
All good. Sorry to drag you away from the mill.
I just finally got the last op 2 running on the vacuum plate, and now Ricky is machinist dancing in front of it. Usually I prove it out first, then hand it over.
No.
But I was like, we're gonna go.
Those
How's it
giant
going?
aluminium parts that you showed me. Flipping fob two.
Yeah, by far. Not, oh, there's, it's actually 9%. It's under 10%. So 91% removal of material.
They look good. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm really happy with how they turned out. It's just been an entire week of making 10 parts. Tech, but we've had no problems, no defects in any of them, which is pretty rare for me.
Good.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking about how much you told me they're worth and reverse engineering your week. What's that in AUD?
Make it
USD.
sound better.
Oh, yeah. It does make it sound better. It's not too
Oh yeah,
bad. I
always.
suppose you had to buy material. Material's expensive, I imagine. Were they the sticks? The 3 point, the 12 foot
Yeah,
sticks?
it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, okay.
Material wasn't. It wasn't bad because I bought it oversized, so I also had to. I posted a video of this. They were 8 inches wide. I needed them basically like 7 1/4, like normal amounts, but you don't get material like that unless it's cut for you. So to fit it on my palette to do op one, I had to put it in the vise and skim off one edge really sketchily. Take about 13 mil off
Oh,
of
yeah.
just the edge.
Off
So I had
the
op zero, op one, op two. I was like, all I was thinking was like, God, if I just had a table saw that could cut this, and just send these boards through.
Cool.
It's gone all right. It's,
Yeah.
anyway, what's up with you?
I was sitting here thinking about the layout of a new shed workshop
Oh.
space, moving blocks around in Rhino, trying to work out how to
Yo.
reduce the size of our workshop down to 25% of what it currently is. It's very
Whoa.
snuggly, but I think it can
Two
work.
layers.
Two layers, yeah, stack them up. One robot passes up to the other robot, and that passes up to the mezzanine. No, it's not very high, the new shed plan. So yes, yeah, very much a single layer pancake, but yes, drawing overlapping reach diameters of robot arms and trying to be smart, trying to be as smart and multi-purpose about it as possible. Whilst, having not actually committed to these plans yet, just kind of, it's all still hypothetical, but needs to be done regardless.
So hard to make those decisions. Well, at least you know in this case, like I feel like often when I'm setting up a shop until maybe now, it's I always just had this like, well, I don't know what we're going to be doing. You know, like I don't know what tools am I going to end up getting, because we had like a chop saber and a track saw, I think, when I moved into this space. Oh, and a router table. That was all I had. And a really crappy workbench made out of a door I found outside.
Exactly. Yeah, like, yeah, that is a benefit. I've got a pretty clear idea of what I want to be producing in this shop. In the, in the interim at least, while our product is focused as it is. So, yeah. Yeah, it's always a fun game. I do like doing it. Yeah, thinking about layout, designing spaces. So yeah, I've been
Oh, I'd
doing
love to
that.
see whenever you want to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I'll share you some things. What else have I been doing? I just had Chatty help me through the final stages of my chatter sync setup because I got stuck on the last few settings.
Which machine?
I don't even know yet. No, probably
theoretical machine.
I'm just happy to have flashed my first Raspberry Pi. That feels like a life achievement. I'll put it on my resume. And yeah, ChatterSync is working, it seems. I can see it in VS Code. It's exciting. But I haven't actually plugged it into a machine yet. But
you
I figured that.
Send stuff to it.
That's what I did. Yeah, I just sent it from my laptop.
Hello,
to
world.
The thing on my desk. But yeah, I'm excited about that. The multicam has its own proprietary software on the PC where you can send files to it. It's probably fine. It sends it over Ethernet. So we only use Sneakernet USB thumb drive file transfer if something's down with the network. But the Maso control and the pencil sharpener theoretically can do that too, but it's never worked. So we Sneakernet stuff to the Maso. So I'll probably try it on the pencil sharpener first. Do that. See if that works.
Cool.
Noodling around.
What's funny about these things is unless they've done some pretty extreme, which I just assume most haven't. Most of these manufacturers are not doing extreme like USB detection. The way he set it up, Pete is so smart, or maybe it's just standard, but basically it just emulates a flash drive, and so like they can't detect that it's something else. Usually.
Yeah, nice.
And so it just shows up. What is interesting, and I noticed in the last week or so I was standing at my computer beside it that, you know, basically is air gapped because it can't connect to the middle unless it's through Chatter, is I'll send the file and it unmounts and then remounts as a drive. So okay. I can't immediately see the drive because it's like disconnecting itself real quick while it receives the file through Wi-Fi.
Ah, right.
So there's something to that it's like not live, which is good, I think, because I don't think it allows you then to mess the file up while you're interacting with it again. I don't know.
That's something I'm curious about. Like if I'm running the machine off the fake USB drive and whilst trying to transfer to it, does that mean that doesn't work? Does that mean I'll lose the connection while it's transferring another file?
So do you run files directly from your USB right now?
I would if I had a USB. If I was sneakernetting it, then yes, I would. I've got no means of copying it.
Can't, the mill or YCM does not allow us to use the USB as the source for drip feeding, which is what people call that, I think, most of the time. But you have such a more sophisticated controller with the Maso that I would assume it probably lets you. What we use it, it's just ridiculous. It's a landing zone, and then I pull files in to the machine from there. Just
and you're doing that
slightly
on
faster.
The mill control?
With like 12 button pushes. It's absurd.
Well, maybe this isn't going to work for me then.
It might work, though.
Might work, yeah. It might run. I suppose maybe I might just not be able to do any file transfers while the machine's running. Maybe. Because both machines would run straight off the thumb drive in normal operation.
I would try not to, just in case. Just because it freaks me out, but...
Yeah.
You seem to be able to fix that machine no matter what happens to it, so...
Oh, my God. Week two of multicam Cameron being down. I've decided compact flash cards are the worst thing ever.
Compact flash card
readers are terrible. The whole thing.
Yep.
I bought a new 32 gig compact flash card because that's kind of the smallest I could find easily off the shelf. And flashed it successfully, operating. Had a backup, like .image file of the multicam from a year ago. Flashed that. Flash looked great. put it in the machine, same boot error. Might be something else going on entirely, but I suspect maybe it's old Windows 98 CE, whatever it is, can't cope with a large CF card, so I've ordered a pre-loved...
Really, it's 1 gig cards.
Oh, yeah. I'm discovering all these like pre-owned... There's a whole market for like small pre-owned CF cards. Crazy.
I was told at first when we bought the mill, I had to buy Fanuc branded CF cards.
Oh, yeah.
Which were $160 a piece, US. Or you find them
industrial
on the black market, like you're saying, like a secondary market. And then I bought like a SanDisk one or something, and it just worked fine. I was like, cool, that was $9. All right. Now just
and it worked
make
okay.
Sure you eject it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm drip feeding for this project, because I've got some files that are like well over my 500 KB storage limit. The one side of this looks like a fancy snowshoe has 28 pockets that I have to machine, like adaptive machine into.
That's a lot of code.
And then clean up the walls and finish it. Yeah, it's just, I could like break it up into a million files, but anyway. It's been killing my computer to process the remaining, the rest machining. It's just...
Oh, really?
I don't know what it is. It feels like there's a glitch, honestly.
Interesting. That big Eagle rebate solid timber job I was during the week had some monster files, and I had two or three CNCs down. I was like, I do not want to kill my only working machine by giving it some 20 meg NC file and destroying its control. And so I broke it up into operations. And they were still big files for what it's used to. But it loaded up and ran pretty well. But it's
do
funny
you
that
smoothing
game.
Much?
I do, yep. I increased the tolerance heaps and use smoothing, and that made a big difference.
I've gotten really good at making like files that would normally be megabytes down to like 300 KB.
Yeah, I was playing that game. I was curious, you know, like this job, it was a $5,000 machining job, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Clients a lot of supplied material. I didn't, I kind of looked at the pile of pre-machined black butt that came in. I was like, wow, that's a lot of timber. That's worth a bit of cash.
Right.
Hope I don't stuff it up. And and it's just the classic thing when you've got client supplied materials, like, what if, you know, what if I scrap it?
Oh,
you know, I could have had a collet slip on the finishing operation and plunge into, like, and not catch it in time and wipe out, you know, a day of machining / all the material. And it's like, what do you do?
Right.
Thankfully, I've never had any incidents of, like, destroying high value client material, touch wood, but
I haven't either.
Yeah, I don't know what happens in that situation.
I think about it every time. Like, I mean, that job we didn't take, that was one of the biggest reasons. It was my cost was like at least $4,000 for one sheet of aluminum. If I messed up any part of it, I think, you know, just like the amount of places and areas that could go wrong throughout the whole thing. It just, like my friend said, you should budget at least in the quote to buy two of those.
That was, you know, what I was thinking as well. It's like, yeah, you just have to budget for two of those.
Yeah.
Delivery. Cool. I'll sing your song while Justin's talking to FedEx, or I'll describe what's on his back wall. He's got some awards. Oh no, they're McMaster catalogs. I thought they were trophies.
Oh my! Oh, those are the McMaster.
Yeah, they're huge.
Tomes. Can you see them up there?
Yeah, I can. I thought they were trophies for something.
It's gonna take that wall down.
Not Nacwall.
What I just got?
What'd you get?
Not Nacwall. I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't. That's the best surprise presents in the mail that you don't remember buying.
I don't know what that was. Anyway. You made me think about, so like I've been doing a little more research. Somehow our China imports are still fine. I just ordered more tool holders. The prices didn't skyrocket yet, and I don't know why, which is just like par for the course with the situation. Like, it's supposed to be enacted, but maybe there's a pause again.
Carry on.
I don't know, but like just chatting with them about, they have just a wealth of different types of things, and it's interesting to see like what people use. Pretty good relationship with the, I guess they're a salesperson there, and we chat quite a bit about, you know, they're like, oh, my European customers use these things, and like, and I'm like, oh, I didn't even know, like the one thing that came up was hydraulic tool holders for ISO 30. Have you ever used or heard of this?
Nope. Didn't know it was a thing.
I've only heard of them for milling, basically. And we have a couple. What we inherited one with the mill, and then I bought another one from Haas. And they're very pricey. They're like, you know, even from Haas on a sale, it was $240 or something like that. And the collets are each $40. But part of their perk is like, you don't pull out a tool. Like, it doesn't come out. Yeah. Like, super, super run out. They're really good at dampening vibration. They're huge and bulky looking, but that's part of the like dampening capability. Okay. Run out's really good. I just was going to ask because I had never seen an ISO 30 version, and they sent me photos, and I was like, well, that's pretty interesting. And I don't know if there's really a market for it. Like, pretty costly.
I've seen heat shrink on ISO 30 or not. What's the other one? That's similar. Anyway, can't remember. But no, I haven't come across that. I mean, I think we're thinking about this as I was setting up the tools for this job. I was like, I don't remember seeing collets on any invoices for years. Like, I don't know the last time we did like a fresh collet order and sort of changed out all our essential tooling collets. And, you know, I feel like I think I've got a good sense of how a healthy collet feels versus a flogged collet in terms of how much spring tension they still have in them and stuff like that. But it's like, I hope these collets are okay. I hope my my pull studs are tight, which I've never checked ever.
That's what led me down the path of sourcing our own. Was I couldn't get pull studs to stay in the stupid cheap tool holders I was buying on Amazon. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, these are very poorly machined, obviously, or something. You know, it's just not mating. I couldn't get them. I'd torque them right, and they would come out. And I was just like, it terrified me to think like, this is going to come loose in the spindle, and then you've sent this 20,000 RPM missile around your shop, you know, and the bottom half comes off. Same with the nuts. The nuts also would either get stuck or be too loose. And I was just like, this is not worth saving this much money. You know, I've seen ISO 30. I've seen shrink fit, and interesting. The other thing is drill chucks. We're probably going to offer those pretty soon here.
Want to
have any of those? It's like a, it's a, the kind of concept that I use them for is like, we have some for the mill and the router. It's like, you want to drill something, but you don't either have the collet or a spare tool holder, and you're just going to use it for this one job real quick. Like, you use a, they call it keyless, but you still use a little half-sided wrench to tighten them up, but they are adjustable.
A drill chuck, like on a drill press, drill chuck, okay. Yeah, cool, okay. What's the run out supposed to be like on those bad boys?
That's a good question. I should find out. I've never had.
All I can picture is like wibbly wobbly drill press, like
this drill hell, like boy. No, they're balanced pretty. You can't spin them 20,000 RPMs, but like,
yeah, sure.
I don't know why you would ever be drilling with that. Have you ever accidentally spun up a drill way too fast? It's terrifying. It turns into like a noodle.
A noodle. Floppy noodle.
Whee! Yeah. That was Tool Holder Talk with Justin and Jim.
Wow. Sexy time.
Tell me about your robots.
How are they? Amount to report.
Have you made any conjugal visits?
No, I haven't this week. They are main one, which I've dubbed Ingrid, is getting Service by ABB either today or Monday. And then once that's done, I'll go back down and do some more stuff there. Coming along. Yeah. I'm freaking out a little bit because cash flow is tight, and I'm trying to sell pretty hard at the moment just to build up some cash so I can finish paying off the robots and pay that stupid supplier that undercharged us all last year. That's coming up in a week or so. I've got to pay out that cash, and it's just that bad timing. So yeah, things and stuff. But robot wise, not much happening in that space other than just thinking about where I might put them and how I might use them. Continuing to learn how to program them. I had some success. I downloaded the Fusion Post for ABB and five-axis post, and I did some test.
That's a
five-axis
thing.
Programming.
You can simulate a.
You can't simulate in Fusion, no. I mean, you can, but it's got no idea what the kinematic chain is. It's just like dual direction.
Is there not an add-on?
Yeah, I've had a look around. Fusion, I don't think the machine tool builder would cope with building a six-axis thing to simulate. But I did post successful code, and I put it through RoboDK, which is the simulation software I've got. And it worked. It did its thing, and it simulated beautifully and wrote crispy code. So that feels like a great start.
Interesting.
That was kind of a bit of an unlock of like, cool, if I can post stuff from Fusion, then I'm well ahead in terms of where I thought I might be at this stage.
I honestly am surprised that you're going to get any Fusion posting out of it. I thought that would end up having to be some other software like that. I can't remember the name, the one you found that
Spirit Cam
uses. That's yeah.
I chatted to him about Spirit Cam in more detail last time I was there, and he ran me through some 3D programming and stuff. And I was like, "Hang on, how much is a seat of this?" And he was like, "Oh, about." And I spent about. There's different versions. I spent about $12,000 on this seat. And
so
I was like, okay. And he was great. He was like, he basically said, don't buy it. He was like, well, just wait for the right job to come along, because it will. There'll be, $100,000 machining job that might come along. Just budget it in then. But,
there will be.
You can get away with it before then. Keep that in my back pocket. But meanwhile, Fusion looks like a goer. So whilst I'd love to noodle around with Grasshopper and Rhino and get some cool simulation toolpath happening in there, which is definitely possible, Fusion's the go, I think. But I'm also going to catch up with Lee from Twig and Bot next week, go and do a shop tour there. I've chatted to him about what he uses before. I can't remember which program it is. Hi, Lee. Thanks for listening. Things and stuff.
Does Lee have ABB?
No, Kuka.
Or Kuka.
Yeah.
Pick a flavor.
Also orange.
And this is much different to program for than it would be if I was just picking one of three different three-axis manufacturers of mills, right? Like, they're, like, very uniquely, like, different programming capabilities or something between the different makers?
Yeah, yes. They have their own language. As in...
It's kind of a nightmare.
Kuka, Fanuc, and ABB all have different programming languages, as I understand it.
And then... You are and wow.
Yeah, and then Cobot world.
Realize it.
Although I think Cobots run something that's closer to Python, which is cool.
Oh right. Yeah.
But yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, just dealing with more like the pencil sharpener. Everything that could have gone wrong with the pencil sharpener this week has gone wrong. I think I was John, Rowan and I were joking the other day of like, With John away, we just mustn't have been doing the right sacrifices in the morning or something. I don't know, like, what it wants from us, but thankfully John's back on Monday.
It wants another robot.
It's just like issue after issue, so many variables in the system. I had it like drive off its during a homing cycle. It went past its soft limits, past its hard limits, and like broke the lid off its enclosure, trying to like home its way up into the sky.
Out.
Get me out of here! And I heard this crashing sound as it lifted the roof.
We had a cheap 3D printer that would try to lift off its gantry. That was $100, so. And never made anything successfully.
So yeah, it's just been one of those weeks. But yeah. Oh, the one PS issue that led to a positive update actually was had a bearing seize in the saw arbor, the cutoff saw. And I don't know how long it's been seized, because when I pulled it apart, I could see like the heat rubbing. And it's been sounding crap, and it's been more wobbly than usual for ages. So it could have been sometime. Yeah. Anyway, it was great because John and I have talked about rebuilding the saw for a while. So I was like, cool, I guess this is the time. And I pulled it apart and cut it open, broke the ClearPath stepper, trying to smash the bearings out of the assembly, and the whole like cover off the ClearPath fell off. Thankfully, the servo reassembled and still works. But we got this awesome neighbor who restores $1 million 1930s race cars. And I walked around there and was like, oh, can you turn us a new saw arbor, please? And they're like, oh, yeah, sure. Got some 4140. Young Brandon here can do that for you. And less than 24 hours later, had a beautiful new bearings. Manually machined part, delicately, you know, refined to be a great fit on the bearings. And so, yeah, lovely.
A lot more skill than I have.
Pretty nice.
My manually machined is like, I go back to Fusion, and I'm like, change the decimal point.
Yeah, exactly.
Nope, post again.
Nope, damn it.
I have figured out how to... It's messy and it scares me, but I have figured out how to dial things in on the mill with offsets. And I don't love it, but
like,
you know,
tool wear, comp, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but the trick is, like, you know, for like a soft jar, like these Pearson vacuum plates, they're like a 20 by 13.5 top plate that covers up a vacuum grid. And you have to machine into the top, put a gasket in, and then make one drill through that's like, I think it's 4 mil or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what pierces it. It's veil. And
don't stuff it up.
That part's a little sketch. Because you can see it in the model too. You've got like just this tiny little gap where you either go too far. And, you know, the damn machine's so accurate. Like, I've gotten used to those kind of things, but... It's just, yeah, sketchy feeling.
You're saying last week
you had enough.
Your probe cycle just wasn't working at all. Did you get anywhere with that?
No, I haven't had time to mess with it. It would have been nice. It's always worked fine for setting offsets, like manually.
Okay.
When I run the cycles on the machine or set up, I think they came with the machine, basically. What I can't do is post from Fusion. It worked until it went to record data. And then the file it was either trying to create a reference was like, I don't know where that is. And I don't know what that meant exactly. Haven't gotten back to it. And whatever LLM I was using was completely useless. They're like, oh yeah, that's a file. You should have that file. And I was like, where do I get that file? Do I make it?
Yeah,
you should have that file. What?
It was like me with Chatter the other day when I messaged you. I just felt so silly. It's like trying to install Chatter from GitHub. It's like, but where's the file to download?
I've clicked around it enough
professional like, Git user
in here somewhere.
Justin came to the rescue. So it's just here, Jim.
Yeah. I love when people look at, well, I also feel stupid when people do that to me, but I'm also like, thank God somebody found it.
Meow, meow. So I think we're both on a short time frame today, but I would love to do a little Patreon video with you about machining hourly rates, because machining that eagle during the week, I was like, I'm not charging enough for this sort of work. But that it was interesting because the job went well and it came in under budget.
Yeah.
And I still had a very strong sense of like, I should have charged a lot more. I should be charging a lot more per hour for this sort of rate of work. So that's something we should chat about at some point. I'd break down that stuff.
I'm the opposite where I need to analyze my cost rates, I think, again, because I feel like I'm not appropriately doing that part of it. Not to cut off our future discussion, but my theory typically is that anytime you feel like you should charge more, you should charge more. Like, legitimately.
But that feeling usually comes after the fact or during.
Oh, yeah. No, it's always like one of the projects we did recently, I was like afraid that it was going to be too much for the client. You know, you go from this whiplash of like, this looks like too much money. And then you do the job or you're in the middle of it and you're like, damn it, that was nowhere close to enough. You know, like, what? This took me way longer than I thought. Or even if you knew, sometimes I know it's going to take a lot longer than I can charge. It's just silly. Which is a bad sign, right? Like, anyway.
Yeah, I know that feeling of like, you're quoting, you're looking at the total value. It's like, no way. Can't charge that much. And then you do it. You're like,
Yes.
And then you're like trying to set up, you know, 30 sticks of black butt on the table at once and somehow clamp them when it's already over your machine cutting envelope.
I saw that. It was like,
you're like,
hanging
whoa,
over.
This is way more prep work than I allowed for in terms of machine setup.
Yes.
Thankfully, I'd overcompensated in my like just machine time. By a decent factor. So all that was covered.
Right.
But yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. The automatic algorithm in Airtable worked for once and overcooked the machine time. So win-win.
Hmm.
And the client's super happy. They sent me a photo of it yesterday, all installed. Yoo-hoo.
So that thing was loose. It wasn't glued together.
No, that was loose sticks.
Was it vibrating?
Yeah, a little bit. They had MDF packers between each layer to simulate the final layer of like air gaps of how it was going to be displayed on the wall.
Yeah.
There was a bit of vibration because it was just impossible to get it fully like clamped and tight across that full 1300 width. But it worked. Did the job. I'll send you a photo of what it looks like on the wall so you can see.
Yeah, cool.
What's the deal with your YCM? I know you're...
Every time I'm deep into working on it again, I get to this place of like, I just am constantly analyzing like, should I sell it? Should I upgrade the storage? And I don't know what I wrote scissors down for. That makes no sense to me. Unless you're screwing with me. I don't know.
Could be me.
Oh, ICM dilemma. Scissors. It might have been an autocorrect. I think I was on my phone with that. I don't know. Scissors. I have a love-hate relationship with it because I'm making these parts that are like giant. And I'm maxing out the table area on this big pallet that's got a vacuum pallet on top of it. And I'm like within thousandths of an inch of, you know, tolerances I'm supposed to hit. And it just never has like running problems. It's only programmer or operator or user interface problems. But there's this big hang up always where like I don't know how to say it. It's like too outdated for what kind of machines we're good with or used to. I don't know how to say. It just doesn't feel like the vibe is off where it's like, sure, why spend $100,000 on a machine when you've got one? But what if I could make another $500,000 with a different machine because I feel more comfortable and I'm more quick at moving through it, you know, over its few year life or something versus like, oh no, it's that internal memory is too small or I can't automate that or I don't have a chip. You know, it's all these little things. It's the same problem I bitch about, but I'm trying to like come at it from like a more potential like loss of opportunity or like business loss opportunity mindset of like, it's got a lot of value still.
Does, and you got a great deal on it. Yeah, it's right. A tricky one. Hey, I don't know. Depends. I guess it depends what your lead flow is like for that sort of work. If you've got the leads for it and you're saying no to work
right.
because of machine friction.
I think I mostly
yeah.
At this point, I don't really consider job shop work as a workflow thing that I'm going to be like buying for because it just doesn't.
Cool.
It's not the thing we're prioritizing. So it's mostly like products and like automation. Like this is the first time in a long time we've had like we're finishing this big job. Our sale went really well and we sold out of all of our pedestal parts basically. Right. So we have to remake all of them, but it's like behind the job shop work and there's another product we have to make aluminum parts for. And it's just like, if this could run all night, you know, we could catch up right now.
Yeah.
Different problem. It's not common, I guess.
Don't know. Tricky one.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I don't know, man.
Yeah, there's no good answer to it.
No, there really isn't.
Make money with the thing I have probably is the answer. I keep coming back to it. I just don't like it.
It's the boring answer, but yes, it's probably the right one.
You're buying robots and I'm buying nothing. I feel jealous.
Yeah, sorry. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
A quick side thought that I just want to throw out or copy from With Intolerance as an idea that Zappatini said I just really liked and I haven't had the chance to try it. But he was talking about how he's been dumping user manuals, especially for like he's always dealing with so many other people's machines, right? It's usually not his because he has like one VF4, so you know it's not hard to like find information about that, but either trying to help clients or something, he's just been throwing the user manuals into GPT and then asking it questions, which I've done. But what I think he might have said this or they said this, I was thinking it would be useful for us if I can find the right medium for it would be throw in basically every user manual from our shop. They're almost all on Airtable somewhere so that it's just like, it's like the internal help desk of equipment.
Cool.
So anybody can ask like, how do I don't know, change the oil on the cotton picker, you know, like, I don't know what.
Yeah. That'd be an interesting thing to test. I've had
Gets confused.
Yeah, mixed results. Like, I would be wary of making one place for that, like, just in terms of mixing contexts. Like, I feel like you give it an 1,000-page PDF manual. I haven't fully tested it, but I don't really trust how good it is going to be keeping context on that one document versus having whole stuff in there, but maybe they're capable of it now. I don't know. I just haven't tested it for a while.
Yeah. It would be ideal if that did work.
Yeah, totally.
Well,
you're cool.
And keep adding to it and especially if you used it kind of like on an enterprise shared, you know, like it's not separate, like Ricky and I don't have separate ones.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway,
it's a cool idea.
Scissors.
I'll definitely be doing a lot of that with these ABBs. A lot of. Please help me sort out the rat's nest of this PLC controller from 2003. I want to connect an e-stop. Which wire? Which wire? I'll do your video thing that you told me about. Live stream.
Oh.
To chatty. That'd be sick.
I love it. I think about that all the time. So I've said this here before. Another of my continual gripes about the YCM is it is impossible to find other people's information about this machine. Like nobody writes about it on the internet. Nobody makes videos about it. They don't, it's in Chinese if they publish it, and which isn't published. The manuals I have are converted from Chinese and PDF. So it's like, there is no, like the LLM isn't helpful. I can look up the controller type, but it's not the flavor I have. So it's just that part as an aged millennial is tough for me. You know, like I'm like used to just like, oh, I'll just Google LLM it and there's just nothing.
Can't you get the robots to translate all the Chinese manuals effectively?
I have not made, this is my primary need for this. Well, he said he's going to get, Zap said he's going to get RTFM across his knuckles, read the fucking manual, and call that his GPT.
Oh, but
I was going to make one for the YCM specifically, because that's really my top issue machine.
Yeah.
For like, oh, what is this code that came up suddenly? I don't know what that means.
Mm. Cool. Do it.
Uh-huh. Short show today. Justin was late.
Yeah.
We both have
lots
to do.
That's probably it for me. I got to keep going too.
Mm-hmm.
Off to the kid farm me.
Go subscribe to the Patreon. We will do a special show for once on Jem's quoting thoughts.
And Justin's.
Our quoting thoughts.
Yes. Cool bananas.
Yes. Goodbye.
Go play with your vacuums. Have fun. Happy mailing.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
That's like perfectly timed.